welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. On the show today, we're turning to Hulu and Netflix to find out what we should or shouldn't be watching this week. Plus, later on in the programme, we'll be heading to LA to meet one of the people responsible for Netflix's original content. But first, I'm joined in the studio by Alice Vincent, arts and entertainment writer for The Telegraph. Alice, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Good Hello. To have you with us, as always. Let's start with the latest Netflix original to hit the streaming service, Santa Clarita Diet. It stars Drew Barrymore and Timothy Oliphant as a suburban married couple, Sheila and Joel, living in California. So far, so normal. But things begin to go awry, which it turns out is putting it mildly, when Sheila develops an insatiable taste for human flesh, as you don't generally.
No.
That's quite an interesting premise, I guess, Alice, for a programme. I wonder what was your instinctive take before you'd even seen it, when you learned of that premise? Did you think,
interesting thing was with Santa Clarita Diet is that there was so much fuss made about Drew Barrymore making her small screen debut, and also Timothy Oliphant has got a kind of cult-like following, that everyone was just sort of excited to see them in this kind of look like a scatty comedy. And it was, you know, I'd seen the trailer and stuff before I had sat down and watched it, and then I thought there might have been some hilarious murdering going on. I didn't realise that cannibalism was a part of it until I was actually watching the show.
Okay, so you start watching it.
Yeah.
There we have cannibalism. I guess it's front and centre. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What as you start to watch it, what did you think? Did it grow on you or?
Oh, so it grew on me until the cannibalism, pretty much. And I've got quite a strong stomach for fake blood, so it's not the gore, which is definitely enough to put some people off. It's absurdist, but it's not, say, as absurd as this to something like American Horror Story. It's kind of a bit like, you know, Desperate Housewives, but blood, you know?
Okay. So is it a jokey series?
Yeah, it's a comedy. And I suppose if you really want to read something into it, you could look into what suburban life is like or what marriage in middle age is like. There are some interesting parallels to be drawn out of there. But really, it's kind of the sort of Netflix half an hour mush you put on, but with a subversive edge.
Well, that doesn't sound too bad. Yeah. Let's hear a little bit of a clip. This is from Santa Clarita Diet. Let's take a listen.
I do like the way that I feel. I have endless energy and I sleep 2 hours a night. I get so much done.
You eat people.
I know. It's just that I'm so much more confident. I can parallel park in one move now.
At first I was afraid.
The undead are completely driven by their it.
But if I can't control myself, then I risk everything that matters to me.
I'm not sending you out to do this alone, sweetheart.
I'm not gonna bail on you now.
We have to kill someone who deserves it.
I guess the prototype would be a young, single Hitler.
God, we'd be heroes.
So I guess, yeah, that's making me feel like maybe this is a satirical piece.
Yeah.
But is it clever enough to do that? Or does it not quite get over the line, do you think?
I think the problem with it is that it's only really got one joke, which is, you know, and to their credit, you know, Barrymore and Oliphant are brilliant. You know, Drew Barrymore is just so funny in this, and she really is a great character actress. It comes out as, and it's really enjoyable to watch her like loosen the shackles of not being a zombie to becoming a zombie. Like, who knew? It's the greatest thing for a midlife crisis, right? But although there are certain bits of the script and stuff which are nicely done, there's good characterization. I'm not really sure how they're going to take it to a second season.
Hmm.
You know, they need to find people to kill. They kill the people. They eat the people. You know.
There's only so far it can go. And what about that point? You mentioned that she's very good, and certainly her and Timothy Oliphant both had very good write-ups, but would this be a challenge? I mean, I suppose she would welcome Drew Barrymore not being typecast because she's played some pretty straight-laced characters.
Mm.
Well, she's had some other kind
she's
of
had
dalliances.
A bit of both. Yeah.
Does she risk, I don't know, marginalising her fan base or so, almost? Or do you think it's done with enough of a kind of a smile and a wink that won't be a problem?
It's done with a smile and a wink. I also think we've got to remember it's a small kind of indie Netflix series. It's only going to hit so many people. And for lots of people, she's still either the kid from E.T. or a rom-com star. And I actually just think it's a nice career development for her at a point in an actress's life when sometimes things do dry up a little bit.
Well, you can judge for yourself. Santa Clarita Diet is streaming on Netflix right now. Let's nip over the internet. I don't know if that works, but let's try it. To Hulu. Exactly. Hulu, who are now showing the second season of The Path. Now, Alice, before we get into the new season, maybe set up the show for the uninitiated.
Sure. So if you don't have access to Hulu, which is most of non-America, the first season, The Path, is now available on Amazon. And the premise is it's a kind of a cult story. So there is this contemporary cult. It looks a little bit like, you know, a glossy clothing advert from the outside. Everyone looks very wholesome and good looking and well cheekboned, and then obviously it's a cult, so you begin to see how the darker side emerges. Meanwhile, there's a storyline where a marriage is falling apart, and an interesting and troubled girl who wants to commit to the cult.
Okay, well, we'll talk about this a bit more in a minute. Let's take a listen first of all. Here's a clip from The Path.
All of you have chosen something different. You have the light to shape the world around you. Until we go
down. It has become my hope that this will set me free, because I'm haunted.
Nothing in my life makes sense. My parents are a mess. Everything's just ripped apart.
I will murder you before I let you take him from me.
Now, Alice, The Path stars Aaron Paul, who I guess a lot of people will know maybe best from Breaking Bad, where he was Jesse.
Right.
And I wonder, how does he shape up? Because I always wondered whether he was not playing himself. But if he had depth, because he was always fairly easy to read in that series. How does his performance measure up, do you think?
Well, this is the most interesting thing about The Path, I think, is that we haven't... After Breaking Bad, he became such a beloved character as Jesse, who, for people who haven't watched, was this sort of delinquent but lovable meth cook and junkie and sidekick in the Breaking Bad operation. And he's sort of... He became like an internet star, but he hasn't really done much telly since. And he is unrecognisable in The Path. Like, you sort of do a double take when you first see him, because he's not kind of with a shaven head and wearing a hoodie and looking a bit strung out. And his characterization is interesting. He's basically a man who is meant to be the leader of this cult, but is having a midlife crisis. Such a theme today. And is unsure of what to do with his marriage and his beliefs. And he plays it very well.
And tell us about the evolution then. So people can catch up on Amazon, as you mentioned. The new season is on Hulu. I think we're a few episodes in.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about the reception for this, because obviously the first season was pretty well regarded.
It was well
more of
regarded.
The same?
Yeah. The really interesting thing with The Path is that it hasn't had a huge kind of... It's not one of those shows people are writing about. And I don't really know why, because it's pretty good and it's had a kind of solid release, as you say. The one thing you can say is that they wrote the first season with leaving you on the kind of a cliff edge, so you do want to watch a second. And so far it seems to be following a similar kind of vein, and there's so much to explore there. You know, there are a lot of different storylines that could go through, so it's got potential to run.
And what about this, I suppose it's this sort of Meyerist movement, isn't it, which is this cult operation, and there's definitely, particularly stateside, but everywhere, there's very interesting, a lot of interest in, you know, cults, how they work, how they manipulate people, whether this is looking to, you know, I don't know, Scientologists or these bonkers kind of David Koresh type characters. Does this offer a kind of a commentary or an analysis, an explanation almost for the prevalence of these cults and how they continue, especially in sort of modern America?
Sure.
Or is it more interested in the characters and how people are either seek to manipulate others or are themselves manipulated?
I mean, there's definitely both going on. You can watch it as a kind of weird family saga, or even a kind of religious version of House of Cards. There's power struggles going on there. However, I mean, you can't, you know, miss the fact it's cult. And what is so alarming is when you first watch it, you know it's cult, you know there's something weird going on, and it still just looks so alluring. They're all so happy, they're very good looking, they save people, they save them from abuse and, like, junkieism and, you know, everything else. And I think it maybe puts the question of, you know, what does draw people in, and can you be drawn in as well?
Some profound questions. They can be answered. Check out season 2 of The Path, showing on Hulu. Amazon Prime has season 1. Alice, thank you very much for being with us on the programme today. Now, we discussed Netflix at the top of the show, but now we're going to find out about the algorithms and data that tell the streaming company that people might be in the mood for, say, a cannibalistic comedy, like Santa Clarita Diet. On this week's Culture Show, Robert Bound headed to Los Angeles to meet the team behind commissioning Netflix's original content. Here's Todd Yellin, who oversees product experience.
What we do on the product side of Netflix is we try to have this beautiful invisibility. We want the consumers, we want our members just to step in and watch another great episode of Stranger Things or The Crown, and that is nirvana for us. But the way we create that invisibility is we're taking things that are incredibly complex and making it brain dead simple for our members. Because it can be what goes underneath an internet TV service to get a beautiful picture and beautiful sound when you're watching on your phone or on your tablet or on your TV or on your TV, that smart TV versus connected to a game console. These are a lot of challenges. And we don't want the person who comes home from work and is exhausted and they have no brain cells left for anything but turning on the TV and watching something and sinking into their upholstery of their couch.
The idea of serendipity is something that very much existed in what we might call old media, the idea of buying a newspaper, and if you wanted to read the sports scores, you'd turn over two pages by accident and you'd be in the business section or the obituary section of a newspaper, and you would go, wow, this is fascinating, I'll not normally look at this, but I have accidentally found it. There's an idea now, obviously, of trying to engineer accident into programming and all the rest of it. And I wonder what your view of that is that the idea of engineering something that seems very human or something that has failure in it almost in order for it to appear human. Is that something that you're familiar with, or am I speaking rubbish? I don't know.
It's funny, when you describe this, you almost sound like an episode of Black Mirror written by the brilliant Charlie Brooker, where you're talking about...
I shan't take that as a compliment.
The engineering of serendipity. I love that, and maybe we'll show Charlie that as a potential episode idea. What we're trying to do, and you talked about, you know, you were asking me what's changed over the years. Let me address your question in this way, which is, years ago, we were very naive on how we did our personalization and our algorithms. Someone would watch a romantic comedy, and then they would come back to the service, and then plastered from top to bottom on their homepage of their TV experience or their website experience, they'd see all romantic comedies. And that's a little bit of that echo chamber that, you know, we read a lot about in the news and in a lot of personalization and internet. We have transcended past that. That's when we were learning to crawl and then learning to walk. Now that we're in our pimply adolescence of personalization, what we've learned is, yes, pay attention to what our members are viewing, but then show a diversity of content. Show not only romantic comedy, but what's a first cousin of romantic comedy? Maybe romantic drama. What's a second cousin? Maybe wacky comedy. And so you show a third cousin, maybe a documentary about romance and the nature of love. So there's all kinds of, and then you go beyond that and go, this person, this member has never watched a horror film. Let's throw the dice. Yeah. Let's see if they're interested in this. So we do program in diversity, and there is a human touch to the Netflix interface and the algorithms.
That was Todd Yellin at Netflix's main offices in LA. And you can hear more from Netflix's commissioning team on this week's episode of Culture with Robert Bound, which is available on monocle.com right now. That brings us to the end of today's programme. Thanks again to my guest, Alice Vincent. This has been the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. The show was produced by Holly Fisher. Join us again at the same time tomorrow for our book review with Kathy Rensenbrink. But for now, it's goodbye from me and the team, and thank you very much for listening.